Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Zero Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and if we're getting a new Wu-Tang video game, does that mean we're getting a version of the Wu-Tang PS1 controller for modern consoles? Come on, do it, you cowards! And with me, I have...
Oh, an Invincible 3v3 fighting game? That's cool, but we have Arxis Marvel, baby!
And...
Okay, I must be drunk. Wait, wait, made a song for a Crash Bandicoot game that I know nothing about.
Oh god, that album did come out. It
apparently he made a song. He made a song called "Peanuts and the Elephant," which sounds like something you hear from a Crash Bandicoot game. And oh boy, it sounds something like that. And from what I heard, it's produced by Lin-Manuel Miranda? Which, okay.
See, I didn't hear about any of that. As far as I know, people were still crashing out over the return of It's Weezer and It's Wheezy. Because what aren't we rebooting at this point?
I'm just saying, you got one of the Hamilton dudes to work on your stuff, which, okay, I mean, it sounds amusing. That'd be the only good thing about what I heard about the album, but consider I heard not so good things.
Yeah,
I see you need the money, Lynn, I guess? I don't know.
I have not touched that album. All I know is, I was sitting out on the couch the other day with one of my roommates. We were watching stuff on YouTube. We got hit with an ad for Lil Wayne's album and tour. She was like, is he like still doing stuff? And I just look at her and I'm like, unfortunately.
As said by somebody on the internet, Wayne didn't get picked for the Super Bowl and said, all right, I'm about to lock in and show everyone they made a good decision.
And they made a good decision of not picking him.
This isn't a roasting Lil Wayne podcast yet.
Not yet, anyway.
This is Decibel Boost, and we are on episode 396. So, how's everyone's week been going?
It was a week in which I bided a lot of time with random video game announcement stuff, because it's not E3 week, because E3 is dead and it's never coming back. And there was some good from the PlayStation side, for once. About time you figure out how to do this, Sony. Good job. You get a pity clap. Do that every time and we'll be less mad at you. But yeah, an Arxis Marvel 4v4 fighting game. Yes, please. I will take that gladly, along with some of the other games that were shown off on that show. Summer Games Fest, we have a Sonic Kart racer that might be good. Look, we have Capcom punking everybody out, you sneaky bastards. And that one guy everybody's laughing at, wearing a stupid hat and saying, shooter games suck now, but my game is good. And then you click on it and you realize it's just crap with very pricey microtransactions, because of course, and the guy is certainly posting through it, because would you expect anything less from these clowns?
No! No, stupid! Dig up!
And then Xbox happened. Those certainly were announcements for games that are going to be available on other platforms, because... Okay, look, I don't use these kinds of jokes regularly, but Xbox is sitting comfortably in the cuck chair right now. They are officially out of ideas. And, yeah, aside from that, it's been just business as usual. I have been constantly refreshing every single store page I go to try and find that one thing everybody's trying to get their hands on. So I'm sure somebody's going, why didn't you pre-order it earlier? Gee, I would have. Except I have this thing called a job.
Also, I'm pretty sure the pre-orders were all sold out.
Yeah, like almost instantly. So I just gotta keep clicking, keep refreshing, and just hope that my time will come. In time. In time.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, I would say the weirdest difference is I saw, I want to say, 2.5 movies. First one, I finally did it. I finally saw it. Yeah. I finally saw Sinners.
One of us.
Holy fuck, this movie was so good.
Oh, like, yeah.
Everything I like about it from the way it's filmed, because notice how it was shot in either in IMAX and they got the little, like, expiration. Like, I know it's filmed in something, like,
IMAX 1570 and Ultra Panavision 70. It's glorious.
Because the funny thing about me, I like when movies are filmed in, like, in that aspect ratio, or at least around the 2-point-something aspect ratio, because it looks more cinematic to me that way. Because, you know, that's a little weird thing about me. When you said to me that Lost Ark from Metallica did some of the score, I would say, I hear it.
He's in there, like in the back end. You'll know it when you hear it.
And I gotta say, Mother might be joining there, and he was good. I bet the most standout is the dude that plays Sammy, Miles Caton, which I thought Nobby was really good. Especially the song Aladdin, which, you know, been played a lot, which, you know, starts out being him singing, like he can fucking sing. He can fucking sing, and I actually dig it, like, the Irish jig, like, okay, this is kind of good too. I'm actually digging the fuck out of this, and the thing is, for something that's 2 hours and 17 minutes, It didn't feel long. It flew on by. Like, okay, all right, we're right here now. But the movie was good. Another movie I saw was Final Destination 6 or Bloodlines, which, in other words, congratulations, new. If I ever go to somewhere that has a glass. Floor on top on that high, I'm not going. Like, you gotta be drunk as hell to think I would go somewhere. We're glad that you stomp. Like, if you stand and stomp and see the grass clacking, that means get the fuck out of there now.
A little bit softer now. A little bit softer now. Oh, a little bit louder now.
And also on garbage day, stay from the truck. Just don't go near a truck or make sure you're going to where the kids playing soccer, you get hit in the head and be where an MRI machine and logs. Damn, they return.
They know.
Yeah. And the half movie I saw because I sort of forgot, might be a surprise. Is Hurry Up Tomorrow.
Huh.
It was something. I mean, I can say it looks surreal. The atmosphere is high. The music is the best part. Yeah, the weekend might need to take some more acting classes.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it's like, you saw that one clip where he's like, yeah, we're like, shut the fuck up! Shut up! Like, oh. I mean, something happens, that happened. I mean, you could say trying to get an acting coach, or if you get you go another movie, like, try to be in something that you didn't write. Benny Softy, or hit up Benny Softy to see if he gets you something or help.
So you say half a movie. Did you walk out on it?
Sort of, kind of.
Oof.
But I had to do.
But, yeah, I heard that was also kind of, Well, better luck next time, Abel, if there is a next time.
Yeah, that dude needs some damage control and fast.
Yeah. Oh, brief addendum, because I forgot to mention it. Sunday night, I saw Dogma in theaters, because it's finally in Kevin Smith's possession again. That movie is fucking awesome. So good. Very good. Probably his best movie he's ever made.
Yeah, I can do that.
Cool. And as for me, I too made it out to the theaters to catch the first three episodes of Dawn to Dawn Season 2, because I missed out the first time, and I didn't want to miss out this time. So I can confirm two things. One, unsurprisingly, the sights and sounds of this absolutely bonkers, over-the-top shonen action romance story fucking rule on a big-ass theater screen. And second, wow, you picked the most blue ball point possible to fucking end that screening on. Jesus.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you again. Fool me three times, you're a bitch.
So I heard, it stopped at a very awkward point, and I'm like, okay, so I've read the manga many times. Where's it stopping? Because it looks like they're getting pretty far, and then it gets to, to slightly spoil, a volcanic eruption, then it ends, and I'm like, oh, all right, so this whole arc takes four episodes, haha.
That's why I have not finished season one yet. I know it ends on a weird spot, and I'm going, If I want a weird cliffhanger ending, I just watch Letterkenny again, thank you very much.
So this is the second time they ended in an awkward way, or is it third? I don't know. Because I know the first season ended in an awkward way. And...
Either way, just the blue balls.
Yeah.
But aside from I was looking at all the game stuff. I am very psyched that there is a new Scott Pilgrim game. I am always a sucker for that. Still think it's funny that we're getting Wu-Tang games. Of course, I'm a sucker for Resident Evil. I know who I am as a person. And, I don't know, insert various other announcements and all that stuff. Bro, the Final Fantasy Tactics fandom must really be going through it in a good way right now. Also...
Uh-huh.
Also, unrelated to anything, but my roommate did convince me while we were out at the mall the other day to spend $40 on a figure of Taro Sakamoto. He is keeping guard over the room right now. But, there's not really much else going on in my life, so let's move on to what we usually do in these episodes, starting, of course, with a new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, pick up some new tunes for your playlist, all of that jazz. So, starting right up at the top, it has been about 6 years since we last heard any studio material from the mathcore band Carbomb, with their last studio album, Mordial, being, again, a 2019 release. I feel like we're seeing a weird amount of bands who, their last studio material was pre-pandemic, and now they're coming back this year. I might just be losing my mind, though, but yeah, looks like they have a new EP on the horizon for August 1st, titled Tiles Whisper Dreams. And we have the first single here, Paroxysm, and it definitely has not skipped a beat from where they last left off, although that might be a very ironic choice of words, given how skippy and jittery and frantic the beats of this band tend to be. the first minute or so bounces back and forth aggressively between a lot of, you know, those characteristic jittery, stuttering metalcore chugs, and even some spots of death metal with tremolos and blast beats and all that hard stuff. There's a couple of sections where things slow down to a bit of a more groove-oriented pace. There's still kind of like that, you know, just stop-start momentum, but there is like this one part that kind of has the bounce of a Sepultura song, and some moments of cleaner vocals and the pace kind of slowing and ramping up still. Now, I'm wondering how this might play out given that mathcore has gone to some pretty interesting places in the past 6 years or so. Hell, we literally just got that Callous Dowboys album this past month, and I'm curious, like, in a landscape where people might be praising, like, the more melodious songwriting nuances of that one, do we still have room for the frantic shit here? You might choose one or the other, but in this case, I'm just like, holy shit, two cakes! I like this song, so, like, count me down for a new, like, release, even if it's just an EP.
So, this band has been a bit of a blind spot for me. I couldn't tell you why, so getting a detailed listen here, I feel like this should be up my alley. It's got some Meshuggah feel in its riffs and groove, more proof that we all rip off Meshuggah, and it's certainly very heavy and intricate with its frantic pacing and time shifting and all that stuff, so maybe?
I can assure they have some pretty good albums. Like I said, I think you really need an acquired taste for this flavor of mathcore.
Yeah. Also, again, blind spot, so I'll deal with that some other time.
Fair enough. Moving on to the next track here. So, Open Mike Eagle's coming back on the new album this year. Last we heard from him, at least solo-wise, was another triumph of ghetto engineering in 2023. And then, of course, last year, there was the collaborative project Previous Industries with Still Rift and Video Dave. They had that album service merchandise. The new album is called Neighborhood Gods Unlimited, and it's due out 7/11. Hey! So, we have a new single here, Contraband, parentheses, The Plug Has Bags of Me, which I'm pretty sure that means something, I'm not quite sure, but, this one, the beat is very, like, streamlined. It's a very calm, low-key kind of tune with a lot of, softer jazz melodies in the beat. I believe this might have been produced by Kenny Siegel.
Yeah.
You know, if you heard, yeah, so, like, if you heard any Billy Wood stuff recently, there you go. And it's pretty chill overall, and of course the lyrics are kind of, just kind of meditations on life and the usual kind of, like, you know, sort of flow and weird lyricism that Open Mike Eagle has. Of course, the one line that stands out to me, because, well, I'm me, is when he goes, "I'm still like Simon Petrikov, because just like him, my mind is sectioned off." Because, I don't know if you know this, but Adventure Time is a thing I'm into. And it is important to pay respect to Simon Petrikov's name. But yeah, I mean, yeah, honestly, man, yeah. Pretty good track, yeah.
Yeah, I guess this track is very meditative, it's very calm, very peaceful, very calm, okay, calm, like, yeah, it does bring some good vibe, like, with his jazz mouth on that shit, which sounds pretty good, like, it's something very light, man. Even the visualizer of them being chased by, I mean, somebody being chased by the police. No, bro, that's the visual, that's what the video was, so he's the visualizer of that thing. Like, okay, y'all playing that while I'm being chased by them.
Now, moving on to the next track here. So earlier in the year, January, to be precise, the singer-songwriter Ethel Kane dropped Perverts, a 90-minute dark ambient drone project seemingly designed to intentionally alienate anyone who chose to engage with her previous studio material in the kind of ironic, detached, too cool for the room fashion that unfortunately characterizes a lot of artistic discourse these days. And now with that mission presumably a success, her next proper studio album is in the pipeline. It's set for August 8th, so 8/8. And it's titled Willoughby Tucker, I'll Always Love You. Now, for reference, as far as the conceptual framework of her musical projects, Willoughby Tucker is supposed to be the first love of the Ethel Kane persona. Although, given that it is a persona, there might presumably be some truth in this fiction. But let's actually see what's going on here with this first single from the record, Nettles. The feel of the song right off the bat is very Americana, with this kind of folksy acoustic guitar strumming, this very light, ethereal set of string melodies in the background that begin to add on and layer as the song goes on across its 8-minute runtime. It is very melancholic and beautiful sounding, I'll give it that, and it's very befitting of the subject matter of the song, which, in a general sense, is about the anxieties and trauma that can be the result of things like starting up a new relationship. The first verse, in a more specific character sense, is Ethel stressing herself out over the myriad of ways that Willoughby Tucker could suffer and die, and thus leave her alone, you know, like an explosive shrapnel mishap, for example. While the subsequent verse is more about, like, her low sense of self-worth and how she's a difficult person to try and love, being very emotionally withdrawn to the point of wanting to experience a lot of masculine-coded, quote-unquote, emotions, like outward expressions of anger, so that way she doesn't have to be so withdrawn about how she feels about everything, and, you know, feeling what Willoughby feels so that they can be, like, you know, two halves and one whole, as it were. There's definitely a lot of complexity going on, because, yeah, being in relationships can be, like, very anxiety-inducing if you're of that mindset. And, by any chance, if this analysis I'm giving sounds smarter than my usual discussions of music on here, then you are correct, because I am 100% the smartest man who has ever lived, and definitely not because Genius.com has officially verified annotations courtesy of Ethel Cain themselves.
Right, so, I'm still not totally all in on her yet, or this wild meta-narrative that's being constructed, but this is a very strong case in its favor, mainly because I'm a total sucker for pedal steel guitars and how it's used in this arrangement. I'm going to get caught in a wild rabbit hole of lore with this, aren't I?
Yes. Yes, you will. Eh, at least there's some pretty cool music to go along with that lore, and, you know, I'm always down for that. And speaking of lore and music, let's move on to the next track here. So, a few weeks back, we discussed the debut single of President, the latest masked pop metalcore outfit that's been the subject of much speculation about their real identity. You know, not just because of the whole, oh, is it a Sleep Token side project conspiracy, but also because of the fact that they're gearing up to play Download Festival this weekend. You know, because of that, as well as the fact that they apparently have their first solo headlining show, which allegedly is already sold out. I guess it's about as good a time as any to drop single number two, which is called Fearless. Now, naturally, it extends the style that we heard on that first single of theirs, you know, this one being, like, a very steady mid-tempo metalcore tune with some straightforward guitar chugs, some four-on-the-floor emphasis coming from the drums. The song mostly just kind of, like, iterates on that same sort of a chugging riff, though the drums do have, like, some more dynamic range and a bit more double kick going on, so, you know, points in its favor there. The verses do continue, of course, more of, like, that very synthetic, like, pop R&B type of deal production-wise. The chorus is having a vague symphonic tinge to the sense of play. Also worth noting, the music video caught a lot of people's attention for one major reason, you know, aside from the fact that the singer will not stop fucking mugging at the camera. It's just the mask, okay? I can't stand looking at that mask. Also, I'm like 95% sure that's supposed to be a David Lynch mask. That's just my opinion, anyway. I saw a photo on Facebook the other day that was like, was that supposed to be the fucking... Anyway, so the video ends with the vocalist taking off their mask and revealing a guy. Definitely not Charlie Simpson, the aforementioned vocalist of Fight Star and Busted that everyone's still suspecting was the singer. Doubly so, considering that this song was released via a label or project called Kings of Terror Limited, a company with Simpson as said director. Now, credit where it's due, that reveal was honestly kind of really funny to me, just because it has the exact same energy as that one joke from the old Justice League cartoon. I've never met this person before in my life. At least for me, I thought that was fucking hilarious. But as for the song itself, yeah, for me at least, it still kind of sucks. Like, it still comes down to the same criticisms I had of that previous single. The music itself isn't really anything that special. Like, this kind of metalcore R&B hybrid mix, you could argue goes as far back as at least Issues in, like, the late 2010s, or maybe even Dance Gavin Dance if you want to, like, stretch it. And the vocal production is still ungodly annoying with way too many vocal effects going on. Especially the chipmunk vocals when they shout out the fucking title of the song. Fearless! Ugh! Sorry.
Okay, I was more complimentary on the first track because it was something, you know, we heard him for the first time, whatever. But this, I don't know. This feels a bit too close to Bring Me the Horizon for its own good. Not help with those very glitchy slash auto-tune verse vocals. And also the very strained chorus vocals. All these sites should not be your 1A inspiration for vocals, my guy. I'm just saying.
Heel turn!
The video, yeah, whatever. Yeah, the video, it has its gimmick. Cool. Fine. But yeah, I have it in my notes too. Hey, the guy took his mask off, and in the immortal words of Lex Luthor and Justice League Unlimited, as the actual quote goes, I have no idea who this is.
Yeah, we think alike sometimes. So yeah, I guess we'll see what happens with that download set. Not to mention Sleep Token's download set. Apparently they played a Rock Am Ring, I believe, and that was apparently a killer set.
Yeah, they did the Rock Am Ring, Rock Am Park double bill in Germany. They're playing Download this weekend, along with a bunch of other bands. Yeah, good times.
All right, so let's move on to the next track here. So it looks like Kevin Abstract, former head of Brockhampton, has a new solo album set for later this month. I think, because I was also reading that apparently the demo tapes for this album was leaked via a Discord server. So, I don't know. If any of y'all got a Kevin Abstract on your mutuals list, ask for an invite, I guess. You might hear something. So, yeah, the album is called Blush. It is due out June 27th. And we have the lead single here, Geezer, featuring guest vocals from Dominic Fike. And the beat is pretty chill and nice to listen to, I'll give it that. It has, like, this kind of looping, boom-bap kind of hip-hop drum beat and some pretty nice-sounding acoustic guitar strumming. The lyrics are kind of like this narrative tale about this girl named Janine that I guess the narrators have a thing for, but her life kind of isn't really going all that great. She's kind of stuck in the town that she grew up in. Never accomplished her dreams, she was never able to get into the college that she was recommended to, and, you know, kind of working a, like, low-paying barista waitress job in her late 30s. So, yeah, her life does not seem to be going all that great. But, I mean, the song itself is kind of a vibe, and I do kind of like, Kevin and Dominic do kind of have, like, a nice playful flow on this thing, if nothing else.
Yeah, the song sounds nice, I mean, That's all I got.
All right, fair enough. So now we have one last song to talk about here, and it is from Mariah Carey, which is actually fairly significant because while she's technically always active in some way, shape, or form, her last major studio output was her most recent album in 2018, again, pre-pandemic times, and everything since then has mainly been collaborations, remixes, and songs getting re-released due to TikTok virality. And of course, there's about 7 years of Christmas royalties.
Yeah.
So the new single here is called Type Dangerous, and very notably, continuing the long proud tradition of Mariah Carey sampling various hip-hop tunes, this song is built off the 1986 song Eric B. is President, performed by... Wait, hang on. Do you actually need me to explain that to you?
Do you need me to explain
who performed the song Eric B. is President?
Come on.
I can't help you if you're one of those guys. But, I mean, it is a solid-sounding sample, like, beat-wise, and the lyrics are mainly about Mariah being too good for a whole lot of motherfuckers who are trying to step up to her for various reasons. Like, dudes who are trying to hit on her but aren't up to her standards, mostly because they're low-key drug dealers. Or women who, metaphorically, possibly also literally, smell like shit. Literally, like, she tells some fucking crusty-ass bitches to, like, take a bath or something, or, like, wear some actual deodorant. I forget what the actual lyric is.
Water and soap.
I just know she, yeah, tells motherfuckers that, God, y'all stink. Which, honestly, low-key, that's the best part of the song for me, which is like, oh, yeah. Fuck, take a goddamn shower.
Yeah, this is a pretty decent song. I will say this does feel like a 2000s throwback, because I do feel like I listened to this song way back in 2005, which is oddly enough. Reason why I said that because last week she revealed the 20th anniversary edition of her 2005 album, The Emancipation of the Emancipation of Mimi, and this and okay and yeah and of course yeah, she's falling on her shit, which she should do. I mean, you've got how long she's been in the game, like since we was born,
forever. I've got stories, believe me.
Yeah, but she can do her thing, and keep doing your thing. Like, sounds pretty good. Again, this sounds pretty sad. It's pretty good. Like, nothing special, but it's still good.
Yeah, it sure is a Mariah Carey song, and it's fine, and. Look, it's a Mariah Carey song in 2025. There's nothing else left to say. I tried, okay? I got nothing.
All I can say is see you in six months.
Yeah. Well, no, not 6 months. 4 months.
Oh, God, right.
It always starts earlier and earlier and earlier every single year.
Surely we live in cursed times. Anyway, that about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a little bit of news, so stay tuned. And we're back. We have exactly two news topics to discuss here. And first is... Oh, fucking... Of course it's Billy McFarland.
Why do you never go away?
Again! You're here again! Don't you ever go home?
Does he even have a home? I feel like he hasn't done enough scams to fucking have a place to live yet. But, yeah. So, just quick recap... for where we've been in the past 6 months. Okay, so he said Firefest 2 was absolutely going to happen. But then, the purported host sites, you know, the islands that they said they were going to host it, said, yeah, no, this shit is not happening. Then, in April, it was postponed indefinitely. And then, he sold some of the IP for the festival and the branding to a company that wanted to turn it into a streaming service with the most bullshit pitch imaginable that basically just sounds like how every aspect of the music industry works. And then, he announced that he's selling the rest of his stake as Fire and stepping down. However, now, over on the Instagram, it looks like he's sharing yet whatever the fuck the latest iteration of Fire is going to be. Quote, a week-long getaway in Honduras called the Fire Resort Pop-Up at Coral View Utila. A statement at the newly launched FireHotels.com says, quote, the inspiration for Fire started in 2013 when a software engineer and hobbyist pilot challenged Billy to leave NYC and to try and fly a small plane from NYC to a remote Caribbean island. Along the way, Billy overshot, ran out of gas, and was saved by a landing strip on a remote island. Bullshit, dude. Your life is not some Indiana Jones adventure. Christ. The magic of the island created a legend that quickly spread back home. These trips grew from a single-engine propeller plane with four crazy entrepreneurs to the talent, lead, and adventure-infused trips that became Fire Festival. God damn, dude. I love how you're still talking about when you bring up Fyre Festival, like we don't all know what happened.
We know what happened.
This is, and I shit you not here, peak Master Shake energy. You know you're busted, and you're still trying to lie through your ass anyway. Anyway, after news broke a few weeks ago that we were putting up the Fyre IP up for sale, we got a message. A small beach resort in the island of Utila, Honduras, had seen the headlines and they had an idea. They had tapped Fyre to bring global attention to this off-the-map gem, programming unforgettable experiences and simply enjoying life at the edge of the reef. And then when people called Utila, Honduras, to see what was going on, they were like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Oh, I'm sorry, that's just my prediction for where this is all going. This was a no-brainer for us, so just like that, Fyre had found its way back to the spark that started it all. In early September, Fyre returns to the Caribbean for the Fyre Resort pop-up at Coral View Utila, a week-long escape blending adventure, spontaneity, and paradise. What better way to make our return to the Caribbean after 8 years? Sure, Jan. This isn't your typical vacation. No cookie-cutter itineraries. No massive cruise docks or tourist traps. This is raw, organic, and unforgettable. Exactly what Fyre was always meant to be. Raw and organic? Bitch, your shit's more manufactured than the entire menu at goddamn McDonald's. What are you talking about? Again, the master shakeness of this all. Where, like, you are clearly not doing any of this, and you are trying so hard to sell like you can, to just turn the Fyre brand into as many different things as possible. It's a festival, it's hotel getaway, it's a fucking streaming service, it's a curated bi-monthly box of snacks. You know what this is? This is that episode of Ed and Eddie where they kept repackaging the same scam over and over again. Pants World, Fringe Land, Cockroach Country. Why not at this point?
Although I will say the ants are smarter than this guy.
The only response I could muster up for this is just the opening salvo of Half-Life: Full Life Consequences. John Freeman, who was Gordon Freeman's brother, was one day in an office typing on a computer. He got an email from his brother that said the aliens and monsters were attacking his place and asked him for help. So he went. John Freeman ramped off the building and did a backflip and landed. He kept driving down the road and made sure there was no zombies around because he didn't have weapon. That is the amount of attention I'm willing to give all of this. Reading old-ass YouTube meme video scripts.
And how. That's about what Mr. Billy deserves.
Also, if you are considering spending money for this, give it to me instead. I want to buy a Switch 2. Give me $500.
Yeah, if you're doing that, get something to me. Get something to me. I need it a lot.
Yeah, give us all $500. Clearly, you all have money. Give it to us. Spread the wealth.
Yeah, give us 10 times that.
Yeah, because we'll also take $5,000.
I could use that to pay some bills, get a Switch 2, maybe a new computer entirely.
I can get a new TV. I can pay off my debt.
I need new tires for my car. Come on, people. Hop to.
Look, all I know is apparently the Best Buy near me said they'll have some in a new shipment on Wednesday, so I'm going to be making a bunch of calls. Also, there's a pretty amazing quote here at the bottom of the Stereo Gum piece, so thank you, Chris DeVille, for this. Quote, McFarland was a pilot. He should have been on the rehearsal season 2. Oh my god, could you imagine Nathan Fielder just absolutely reaming this dude out? I think that might actually trigger world peace if that happened. We just all unite and point and laugh at this man. But anyway, time to move on to the other news topic we have here. And it is tied into the myriad of video game announcements we've been getting over the past weekend. So this one concerns, the crossover realm. You know, the intersection of the regular old entertainment industry and the games industry, because you know, we're still trying to make, you know, certain video game adaptations happen, and in this case we have a brand new film adaptation of Street Fighter that's coming out next year, I think. So, okay, originally it was meant for March 20th, 2026, but then on March 24th of this year, Sony removed the film from the release calendar, and they have not given it a new date yet. So, as far as some of the bigger, you know, staff contributions here, so the movie comes to us courtesy of Legendary Entertainment, who got the rights to Street Fighter back in April 2023, and apparently they also have other future film and TV projects with Capcom, you know, happening. It was initially slated to be directed by Danny and Michael Filippo, but they left the film to, you know, work on some other film they had, which probably is why it got delayed. I mean, we do have a director currently attached to this, that being Kitao Sakurai, a name you might be familiar with if you watch a lot of Eric Andre material. And as for who's cast in the movie, well, currently, to start with the most recent casting announcement and why we're bringing this up, country musician Orville Peck has apparently been cast in the film. He's got some experience, you know, doing cabaret on Broadway. This is his feature film acting debut. Don't really know who he's playing yet. Apparently, we don't really know who... Okay, we know some of the actors in this, but we don't know what characters they're playing. So, in addition to Orville Peck, some of your other cast members in this film include the likes of Andrew Koji from the movie Snake Eyes, Jason Momoa, who we all know for Game of Thrones and Aquaman, Noah Centineo of Warfare, and, oh boy howdy, a name that probably was a draw at some point, but, WWE professional wrestler Roman Reigns. Remember when that name was worth something?
So, which one of them is going to play Guile?
Yeah. Huh, good question.
Yeah. You know,
and he's gonna play Ed Bison.
Yeah,
and he's gonna play Ken and Ryu, huh? Yeah, wait, come on, people, hop to.
You know, I want to add some things in here because I figured out something with them casting Orville Peck. Is it their touch? A Street Fighter movie has cast a singer or at least a musician to be in there. Like the '94 movie, they had Kelly Minogue and it had a role. In the 2009 movie, The Legend of Chun-Li, you had Taboo from the Black Eyed Peas playing a part.
Yeah, he was Vega. Jesus Christ. So
yeah.
I would say that was the best part of that movie, but we all know that's not true.
Yeah. And also, I know it said that, you know, it was supposed to release on March 20th. It said that Sony removed the film from its release calendar. I do think that, I read that, like, once Sony and Legendary did they had a movie deal that they released some movies of theirs, but I don't know if we still have that because like they released some movies like I think there's a movie called The Machine with that one guy Bert that one comedian and Bert Kaisha, I don't know his name.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, and the Book of Clarence that had Keith Stanfield. However, I think that deal might stop because those movies kind of flopped big time. I mean, I read that deal with Legendary and Sony was dead, so I don't know if it's still with there. So I'm just going by what I know because I know Legendary got the rights, and I mean they're still taking Warner Brothers. I don't know who's gonna release it. Please, they do it by themselves. I don't know.
Yeah, so, who knows what's happening to this movie or what role he'll play specifically. I'm not even sure who he would play.
Yeah, but apparently Legendary doesn't have any real deal right now, because they tend to have those bridges be burned in one way or another, either with Warner or Universal or now Sony. I would say Paramount could do it, but I don't think they have the money for it anymore, so, good luck to everybody here with all this. Maybe the Warner deal can continue on. We're not entirely sure. However, I am proposing an alternate case for a potential Street Fighter live-action project. Just cast Kenny Omega as everyone. He can pull it off.
I remember that. So, yeah, there's your interesting casting music related news and stuff. That about does it for the news topics. Now that just leaves one last thing we got to touch on here, and that is the new album releases for Friday the 13th. So, yeah, if you celebrate that most glorious of holidays, you can tune in for new music, such as the newest Buck Cherry album, Roar Like Thunder.
Well.
Why are they still a thing? And why have they released, like, 5 albums since 2006?
You know, that's probably very fitting that a band that cursed would release an album on this day. Anyway, moving on from that, we have the newest album from Fallujah with Xenotaph. From King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, we have album number 1 from them this year, Phantom Island. We have the first new album from rap icon Slick Rick in a good 20-plus years with Victory.
Damn.
From Ty Dolla $ign, we have his new album Tycoon. Here's an interesting one. So, after announcing that he finally regained the masters for this one particular project, JPEG Mafia will be releasing Veteran, the Director's Cut. If you're into country, there's a new Dierks Bentley album, for some reason, Broken Branches. And last, but definitely also least, there's a brand new studio album from Ian Dior with Cycles.
One more thing. Metallica Load Remastered box set also comes out on Friday, so woo for me.
Yeah. Anyway, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places that you all know already. My other show, Discord, other Discords, other platforms. I sort of pop up every now and then because my brain is just tired at all times. Keep up the good fight, California. Kick these fucking cretins out and tell everybody up in Washington, fuck you! Keep doing that. We all love to see it.
Hell yeah. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Of course, I'm on the Sky Blues where, I don't know, I still do my Lazarus talk every Sunday. Yeah, but you ever got people so left? That's something, so far, it didn't do no heel turn, but just hoping it'll turn out well. And of course, my site, my hyper one, I want that where recently, I did a review of Center. So yeah, check that out.
And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me robert@3resolution for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky @3resolution. Visit the website, 3resolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, M&A, all that good stuff. And, of course, be sure to jump into our Discord server link on the site so you can be immediately notified whenever new things go up on the site. Chat with everyone there. Some good stuff. So that'll about do it for this week's main episode. We'll, of course, be back later on in the week for the monthly album roundup for May 2025. So hope you tune in for that. Thank you for listening. And until then, some of y'all can't handle two high agency males going at it, and it really shows.